You know, I got thinking this morning, where our current series we're doing is the called church, and one of the areas, you know, we're looking through Romans 12 at the called church and what that means and what that looks like for us. But in another area of scripture, and of course, so we won't be able to get hit on this one. There's so many good things in other areas in the Bible. The church is called to sing. We're called to be a singing body. One of the things I love about, I don't love sitting at the front. I do because it's more practical, really. But one of the things I love is that every week I can sit, and if I just stop and listen, I have a really great vantage point to hear all of your amazing voices as we lift up praise to our great God. And I just can't tell you. I can't tell you thank you enough for how much of a blessing it is that you are a singing church. So thank you for that. So on that, the called church, we're going to pick up our series in Romans 12. You know, last week we had a little bit of a break with John Mahaffey here. And but if you remember, a couple weeks ago we began the series in Pastor Dan spoke from Romans 12, and he looked at verses 1 and 2, and he highlighted for us, and we saw from those verses that the church is called to seek transformation, that the church is called to change, and we highlighted some ways in which we can pursue change for our betterment, but also for the glory of God, making our bodies available and changing so that we can be used to glorify God. And to give him praise in all that we do. If you didn't catch that message, you should. It should be up on our website. You should go back and listen, and it'll help sort of as we go through just to keep up with these. It's also just a really good encouraging message as well, and lots of really great stuff. So, but this morning we're going to continue through this section of Paul's letter in Romans, and this morning we're going to see together that the church is called to serve. That the church is called to serve. Paul's going to go on in this chapter, which we'll explore. He'll unpack some of the ways in which the church, which the body, has been gifted to serve, the unique ways that God has graced his people with abilities to give and to serve. And it will unpack how the church ought to live this calling out, what it looks like in light of this calling given to Jesus, given to us from Christ. To be a church that serves. So let's read our passage this morning together. We're going to look at Romans 12 if you have your Bibles. If you open up, we're going to begin in verse 3. We're going to read all the way through down to verse 8 this morning. So Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, Paul says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs all to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. Then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If your gift is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Let's just pray together before we dig into our text. Father, thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. And we just ask that as we study your word together, we ask that you would speak to us. Would you reveal to our hearts what you would need us to hear? Would you draw us closer to you? And would you form us to be more like Jesus? We thank you for this time together, and we just pray that you would go ahead of us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, So, like I mentioned, we're going to look at this text together, and we're going to see this morning that the church is called to serve. And this is interesting. So right away we get into the text, we look at verse 3, and Paul jumps right into the text. And as you'd imagine, you would expect, at least if we're talking about serving, if we're talking about the call of the church to serve, you would expect Paul to jump in and start talking about serving. But something interesting happens here is that Paul right away doesn't go there. He begins not by talking about serving, he begins not by talking about giftings, not by talking about opportunities, but Paul actually begins in verse 3 here with a warning, a sort of exhortation or encouragement. He says, I say to everyone among you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Instead, think of yourself with sober judgment. It's kind of a funny way to start a passage, or to start, you know, in talking about serving, kind of an interesting way to begin. And so in addressing the church and the call to serve, Paul begins here. But why? Why does Paul begin with self-assessment? Why doesn't he start with the list of the gifts? Right? We read this list of gifts and ways in which you can serve. Why does Paul start here, though? And there's a couple reasons as we look at this. I think it's important to see that Paul starts here with this moment of self-assessment as we think about the church and the call to serve. And the first is really kind of subtle, but kind of important, very important, is that the call to serve is given to the whole church, and nobody gets a free pass. The call to serve is given to everyone who's a part of the community of Christ. Again, right in verse 3, Paul says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, I say to all of you, every single one. So right off the bat, we see that the call to serve is given to everyone. Nobody gets an excuse or a pass from this. The second reason I think is important just to highlight that Paul starts here, before getting into some of the details and some of the what we would think are the more important things in terms of serving, is that we need to understand and know, Paul highlights for us that we need to understand and know the unique ways in which God has wired us to serve. Self-assessment is really important. When we come to serving, before we get to, okay, where am I going to serve and how am I going to serve and what ways am I gifted to serve? And before we get into figuring that all out and finding time and organizing our schedules and doing all this stuff, before we get too busy and distracted, Paul says, slow down. He says, stop. He says, do a self-assessment. He says, look at the ways, he says, with sober judgment, assess yourselves. Don't think more highly than you ought, but look at and think about the ways in which God has gifted you. Think about your own life and character. And this is important, right? Because God has gifted each of us uniquely, and he's created us each with purpose and intention. And God knows, this is really incredible to think about, and I have to remind myself of this often, because it's just amazing that God knows all the ins and outs of us. He knows the way we think. He knows our differing personalities. He knows the ways in which we're wired to operate. He knows all of these things about us. And not only that, right, but as we'll get to in the passage, Paul says, you know, there's ways in which God, in our uniqueness, that each of us have been given unique gifts and abilities, things we're good at, that are maybe, you know, not the same as the person next to us. Maybe we're the only one, maybe not. But he's given us each unique giftings and abilities, ways in which we can serve. And so it's important that we do this self-assessment to begin, Paul has, because we need to know kind of where our lane is, where God's placed us to fit, or wants to place us to fit. How many of you guys are puzzlers? Anybody puzzlers? You can throw your hand up. I'm not, but throw your hand up. Please don't be ashamed. I'm not, but don't be ashamed. Yeah, okay, a few of you. Good, good. I just say right off the bat, I can't stand puzzles because I get too distracted, and then I just never want to come back to it. But anyway, puzzling is a really good image here. It's a really good analogy here because if you think about it, when you do a puzzle, if you do puzzles, sometimes you're looking for that piece, and you're looking, and you're searching through the box, and you find that piece in it, and you're like, oh, that looks like the right fit. But people who make puzzles are kind of funny. They think they're funny anyway. And they make pieces that look almost identical, but they just quite don't fit. Like, to like the millimeter, like you can barely tell by looking at it unless you get like a magnifying glass that it just barely doesn't fit. And this causes a problem for the rest of the puzzle, right? Because that piece doesn't fit there, so it stops the completion of the puzzle, but it also, the other problem you have is that it takes the place of the piece that's supposed to be there. And so even if you leave it there and say, okay, it fits almost perfect, the piece that was meant to fit there now doesn't have a home. Now it doesn't have a place to belong, right? So it's important that we know sort of where we are supposed to be, where we're designed to be. It's important to know where our particular fit is, and when we come and when we think about what it means to with the call of the church being to serve. Again, because not only does it affect us, right? Paul's saying, yeah, it is about you. You start with yourself, but he says it also affects other people. Because if we don't know where we're supposed to fit, then we may find ourselves taking up the place that somebody else was designed and supposed to be serving. And there may be something better that God has in store for us. So Paul says, do this self-assessment. In my reading in preparation for this morning, I came across this quote from a commentator who said, he said this, if we consider ourselves to possess gifts we don't have, then we come with an inflated notion of our place and function. And we sin by esteeming ourselves beyond what we're given. But if we underestimate and we find ourselves refusing to acknowledge God's grace, and we fail to exercise that which God has dispensed for our own sanctification and for the sanctification of others. So all that to say is that this is important, again, because this, the self-assessment for yourself, for ourselves, is important, but also for the sake of others, because it's bigger than just us. It's bigger than just us, as we'll see Paul mention in this next verse. We move on to verses 4 and 5, and Paul begins to move on from this self-assessment, which is an important first step, and he begins to talk about the body, the community of believers. And in verse 4 and 5, Paul says this, right? For each of us has one body with many members. These members don't all have the same function. And so in Christ, we, though many members, form one body, and each member belongs all to the others. Or in some translations, it'll say one to another. Paul begins a metaphor. He takes this section here and he introduces his metaphor, which is not a new metaphor. If you're familiar with any of Paul's writings, you will have heard this metaphor before of the body. It comes up in 1 Corinthians. It's even in the context of Paul's day, this was a very popular metaphor to be used. The body, our physical bodies, as a way to talk about the role that each person has to play in a group in society, or to function together as a group. And so Paul says, just our human bodies, right? So you think about our human bodies; they have many different members or many different parts. We have hands, we have feet, legs and arms, and your neck and your head. And then even beyond that, right? You can go way deeper, right? You have your brain. And your heart, and your lungs, and a number of other body parts that I probably am forgetting or can't name. Like, there's a ton. Biology was not my specialty in school, but there's a ton. And each of those things, each of those members of our body, those parts of our body, each have a unique gift, a unique role in which they play, in which they bring to the table to help our bodies function. And Paul says, in the same way, the church... He highlights this really important thing for us to notice, that the church is a diverse group of individuals. The church is full of people, all of us, who are different. I want you to do something for me for a second. Okay? Can I get you guys to do something for me? Okay. Just making sure you guys are staying awake. That's good. All right. So I want you guys to actually do this. Turn and look to the person on your left. My left, but your left. Turn and look at the person on your left. If you don't know them, introduce yourself. That's a little awkward, sorry. Now turn and look to the person on your right. To the person on your right. Now, those people on your left and on your right, I am going to say with 100% confidence that those two people are different than you. Okay, good. I think I can make that claim. Yeah, so the church, the body is a diverse group of individuals. We all come, we're all different, but we each bring something to the table. We each have something intentional, a way in which we've been gifted, a way in which we're wired, a way in which we think that we can come and we can bring those differences and we can bring them in our serving. In being obedient to the call to serve, we can bring those forward for the benefit of the body. Let's just go back to the body metaphor again for a moment here. I don't know, how many of you guys had, I got lots of questions for you, this is great. How many of you guys had eggs for breakfast this morning? Did anybody have eggs for breakfast this morning? I did not, but I wish that I did. Okay, I enjoy eggs in the morning. So think about this, you're sitting in your kitchen or wherever, you're sitting in your kitchen, let's just say, and you go to pick up an egg to go to crack it in the bowl. Okay, picking up an egg is a very simple task, seemingly. But the amount of things in terms of our physical body that go into a simple task or a simple task of picking up an egg, it's actually very complex. There's this extremely coordinated effort in our body that happens really without even noticing, where you have several different systems that kick into gear in our body, your nervous system, your muscular system, your skeletal system. They all work together. You have this process where your brain transmits signals and where your muscles and limbs generate force, all to provide the necessary structure for movement. The brain sends signals to the muscles, which contract and release. They cause our bones to move at our joints, which are intentionally connected there to move and do our job there, ultimately enabling you to go and to pick up this egg. All that happens, and we don't even think twice about it. And what's amazing is that we're able to pick up that egg with the perfect amount of force to be able to grasp that egg and to lift it up, but with enough careful attention to detail that we don't squeeze it too hard and crush it. We're able to, our body functions to make all of this possible. All these different parts of our body working together. And I think this is a helpful image as we look and as we think about the call of the church to serve. As Paul highlights here in 4 and 5, it's our diversity. In our differences, we contribute to the health and the unity of a full functioning body, of a full functioning church. It's really important that we get that. In our differences, in our diversities, that's when we contribute to the health and the unity of a full functioning body. Our diverse giftings and abilities, as we come and we bring those things that God has given, that God has gifted to us by his grace, Paul says. We bring those things in service. It's really interesting, he says in verse 4 and 5 here, we're one. He mentions one being one twice. He says we're one in Christ, and we're one with another, or one to each other. Christ, we're one in Christ and one to another. In our differences that we bring and we come together with all our differences and we come and we serve Christ's greater mission. Being one, serving him, loving him, giving our lives and our gifts and our abilities and all those things that we've been given by God's grace to him. Coming together as one body to serve in his mission, in advancing God's kingdom here on earth. Each of us in the unique way that we've been designed. In the specific and unique way that we've been designed. Again, they just think back to creation, right? God made all of us. God made everything. Everything from the smallest little detail to the biggest, most comprehensive idea, and everything in between. And in the same way, in each of us, he's aware of all the little details that he's placed, all the little things that he's done, the ways in which he's made us. So together, as a cohesive community of diverse individuals, we come and we all have the same goal in mind, to serve, loving, and following Jesus, serving his mission, giving our lives to him. So now this is pretty big. This is pretty surface level. And you're probably wondering, okay, for those of you who are very practically minded, you're probably wondering, what does this mean? What does this look like? How am I supposed to, like, you know, how, what does this mean? And the good thing is that Paul gets to there in the next couple verses. In verse 6, he starts to get there. So let's read 6 together, 6, 7, and 8 together. Paul says, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Hold on. That's chapter 11. Chapter 12, Romans 12, verse 6. Paul says, here we go. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So we have different gifts that God has given each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, he says, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's service, then serve. If teaching, then teach. If encouragement, encourage. If giving, give generously. If leading, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Okay. So for all you practical thinkers out there, people who are practically minded, Paul gives you a list. He says, if these are the things you've been gifted with, here's how you can serve. And so he outlines and shows us what it looks like practically. And he gives us this list of 7 things. So we're going to take a little bit of time now together to unpack these 7 things and look at and what each of these gifts are and the ways in which we can use them to contribute to serving to the body. So the first one Paul mentions, he mentions prophecy. He says, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. This is kind of a tricky one. This is a really interesting one to start with. But Paul says prophecy, and what Paul means here by prophecy, he means speaking a specific spirit-inspired word. Speaking a specific spirit-inspired word. You all know, I'm sure, that moment where you're there and you feel the little nudge from the Spirit saying, hey, go talk to that person. Hey, I want you to go say this. It's those moments, the speaking Spirit-inspired words. I had an encounter, I felt like kind of an awkward encounter of this myself, where I was sitting in church. And a church I was attending was a rather large church, and I was sitting there, and we were singing, we're worshiping, and it felt like there was just a little nudge, a little voice saying, you see that person sitting 2 rows in front of you? Go and tell them God sees and God knows. And I'm like, okay, that's weird, I thought, because I don't know them. Like, this is a big church, and there's a lot of people I didn't know. So I was like, I don't really know them. Like, this is kind of weird. Do I do it now? Do I do it after? Do I do it, like, thinking through all this. So then the pastor got up to preach, and through the whole sermon, I'm trying to focus, I'm trying to take notes, I'm trying to pay attention. It just kept that little poke, that little voice, that little nudge. Go and say to that person, God sees and God knows. And I tried to shake it off, tried to kind of stay focused. I kept putting it off. And then finally, the end of the service came, and I couldn't even focus, and I couldn't handle it. So the service ended, and I decided not to interrupt the service, but I got up, and I went over, and I said, hey, you know, just, I told him, I said, just, I felt like God was telling me to come and say, hey, God sees and God knows. And it was truly a profound moment. This family, this couple had a son with a disability, and they had just been going through a very difficult time, a very difficult season, and they were very comforted by the words that God had prompted me to give. Even though very small. So, again, Paul begins with prophecy, this gift of speaking Spirit-inspired, specific Spirit-inspired words. So that's the first gift. The second gift we see in the list here, Paul says the second gift is service. If your gift is serving, then serve. This word service, it's linked to the word, the same word that we get the word deacon from in English. The root word of this word serve is the same word where we get the word diakonos, which is deacon. And so service here refers to the people's, meeting people's material and physical needs. We think about ways in which we can serve in this way. Paul says, if this is your gift to serve, to meet people's physical and material needs, what are some ways this looks like? This looks like making meals for people. people who are in the hospital, or people who maybe a family has just had a baby. You make a meal, or they're grieving. This looks like ministries like our free giveaway, meeting the material needs of our community and people who are in need. But this also looks like, there's a number of ways in which this can look, but it's just a couple examples. But service, Paul says, if it's serving, serve. If you've been gifted to give in terms of giving to the physical material needs of others, then that is the way in which you ought to give, the place, the way in which you've been designed to give and contribute to the body. So that's the second one, is to serve. The third one that Paul mentions on the list here, this one is teaching. And Paul here is referring to teaching. He says teaching is general instruction in the faith. So this could be something like, this could mean teaching in Sunday school or Awana. This could mean, this could look like leading house church or a Bible study. But also included in this, which is really interesting, it's a very interesting word that Paul uses here. It also includes analysis and critique of the ways of this world. Analysis and critique of the ways of the world and paying attention and making people aware of the ways in which the world falls short in answering life's big questions. So it's like a teaching, but it's also an assessment of the reality of the scriptures, the reality of what God has in store for us, this gift of teaching. And so Paul says, if this is your gift, then express that gift and contribute to the serving in the body by means of teaching. Are you getting the trend so far here? You getting the trend? This is your gift. Serve in this way. Do this. Okay. It's going to change on us, so hopefully you'll see in a moment here. The next one Paul mentions, number four, is the gift of exhortation. Some translations will have exhortations. Most translations will have encouragement. And this is could mean a couple things here as we unpack it. General or specific moral instruction, coming and instructing people just in day-to-day life, encouraging them in the things that they're doing well, and encouraging them to continue in the good things that God has already started in their life. Part of this would also be spiritual support too. And that means if you think of like discipleship and coming alongside someone, walking alongside a brother or sister and taking moments to delve into the scriptures together and encouraging them to live lives devoted to Jesus, to what he's doing in their life, to press into him. Other ways, I think we can include prayer for others as well in this as well. Encouraging through a word of prayer. But a number of ways in which, if this is your gifting, the gift of encouragement, ways in which you can serve and contribute to the body, again, we're thinking the full functioning health of the body. So that's the fourth one, exhortation or encouragement. The fifth one, there's not many more, there's only seven, so I know it's kind of a long list. The next one is giving. Paul says, if, this is where it changes the pattern, he says, if your gift is giving, then give generously. So if your gift is giving, give generously or with a generous heart. And here, Paul's referring to specifically the financial support of the body. And that could be like financial support of the church as a whole, the regular giving to the missions and the ministries that the church supports and that go on in the life of the church. But it also, alongside that, could mean and does include giving to other people in the body who are in need. If a need arises and you can give monetarily to that, then to give and give in that way, and to do that generously, with a generous heart. Think of like the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you have the early church gathers together, and they came together and they sold all their possessions, and they brought them all before the apostles, and they did that so that no one among them would have need. So that no one would have need. They're sort of leveling the playing field. They're addressing this issue of giving. So Paul says, if you're gifted to give, to give generously. Number six on this list Paul mentions is leading. Paul says if your gift is to lead. Here again is a different pattern. Here he says do it diligently. Seek it intentionally. So a couple ways in which this could be this looks like in many practical ways having some sort of authority or maybe oversight is a better word. Having some kind of oversight in the life of the community. And the most practical way this plays out is just our ways in which we serve on a week-to-week basis through the programs that happen within our church, within our community. You think about serving in Sunday school or youth group or Awana or on worship team, or maybe you're coming to volunteer to sort stuff for free giveaway, or maybe like there's a number of things that go on through the week that the ways in which the church comes together to seek to build into the lives of others. And ways in which, if you're gifted with this gift to lead, you can come and serve in this way and give oversight to these areas as we lead these ministries and these people. Again, not for us, right? Not for us. Not because you're a good leader or because it's about you, but because we all come together to learn, to grow, to be encouraged, but to follow Jesus more. To become more like him. So leading is the sixth one. And then the seventh one here in this list, Paul says, is in the NIV is interesting. It says, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In a number of translations, it'll say, I think ESV says, if your gift is compassion. But this is the word, it's literally translated gifts of mercy. If you've been given the gift of practicing mercy, sorry, this is what this word means, practicing mercy. So this means, this would include a number of very practical, tangible things. This would include caring for and supporting those who are homeless, those who are in need that way. It would be visiting and caring for people who are sick or in the hospital dealing with other health challenges. It would look like giving time and even maybe money in some cases, but mostly our time and dedication to serving at food banks or advocating for those in our community who are marginalized. Devoting our time in giving and practicing mercy in advocating for those who are marginalized among us in our community. Not just in our church, in our community, but in our community, like in our city. Those in our city in which God has placed us. This is the gift, the seventh gift and the last on the list that Paul addresses. And he says, if your gift is to show mercy, he says, do it cheerfully. To give in a way in which you are happy to serve the needs of another. That you are happy to serve the needs of another for the sake of Christ, for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of his mission. So we have here, this is Paul's list, seven different ways in which the body has been equipped by God's grace to serve and to fulfill the calling that we've been given to serve. And now, we need to address something here because it's really important that we make this point's made. That this list is not a complete list when it comes to serving and the gifts given to the body, the gifts that we've been given. There are a few other places where Paul mentions gifts given to the body, ways in which we can serve. One of the prominent ones is in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, and then as well in chapters 28 and 30. And interestingly enough, if you do a comparison of these two texts, one thing you'll find is that you'll find there's actually a lot of differences. There's actually more differences, especially with the Corinthians list and the Romans list. There's more differences than there are similarities. Kind of fascinating. An interesting question to ask, well, why? Now, we don't really know for sure exactly why. There's a couple reasons that this could be possible. One of the reasons that these lists could be different is because Paul's writing in two different contexts to two different churches. Paul, again, Romans, we have to remember that Romans or Corinthians or whatever book we go to in terms of Paul's writings, they're letters. And they're written to address specific scenarios, specific issues, specific things that church, whether it's the Corinthian church, the church in Galatia, Thessalonica or in Rome, specific things that they were dealing with. And so there could be a, it could be just a matter of for Paul contextualizing to the specific issue he's trying to address. But another thing, interestingly enough, is that in this list in Romans, there is seven gifts, which is also kind of fascinating. And I think plays a part in why this list is the way that it is. Seven is an interesting sort of, I'll leave this for you to go into on your own time, because we could spend the rest of the time, I could spend the rest of the time talking about it, and I might bore a lot of you, and we'll miss out on the other important things here from the passage. But the gift, the number seven is a really significant number in the scriptures. If you go like seriously cover to cover, seven comes up often as a theme or an image that's related to, in many cases, this idea of completeness or wholeness. And I'm sure as I'm saying this, you could probably think of a few significant places that seven is mentioned or sets of seven. But there's a number of them as you go through the whole story of the scripture. So this is kind of a significant theme. And so I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that Paul's saying there's seven gifts. Because again, he's talking about the call of the church to serve for all of us, for everyone to contribute and to bring wholeness, to bring our gifts to the complete and full functioning ability of the body. So I don't think that should be lost as we come away from this passage. I think what we are supposed to take away for sure, I can say, is that this means that these gifts that we have are not positions. They're not positions that we earn. They're not talents that we have. They're more than that. What we see that these are from this text is that these gifts are ways that God's grace has been manifest in our lives. They're manifestations of the grace of God in our lives. These gifts represent our ability to come as individuals, diverse individuals, in one body united in Christ, to come and to bring those differences and to use those gifts and to fulfill the call to serve. Because what this does is as we pursue this, this allows us as a body, it allows each of us to come, regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of status, regardless of age, regardless of anything, it allows us to come, and it allows us all, every single one of us, to become full functioning members of the body of the church. And it allows us to come and contribute to God's mission and God's kingdom in the way that we've been designed, in the way that God has planned for us to serve him and to give that in return. This is actually really huge. Like, I don't know if we think about this often enough. This is really significant that when the body's functioning well, right? Again, think about the body analogy we talked about where something simple like picking up an egg takes all these different processes and things and things going on that we don't really know, but if one of those things gets out of line, it all, like, crazy stuff happens, right? And what's amazing is when the body's functioning well, when the church is functioning in a healthy way, each member is able to contribute to the health and full functioning of our community. And what's really amazing, it's really incredible, is that we become the means by which God enacts righteousness and justice in the world. We become a means by which God enacts his righteousness and justice in the world. It's when we are fully functioning in a healthy way as a body, all serving and giving our gifts in the unique way and specific way that we've been designed in the place that we fit, that God uses us for his greater plan, for his purposes. It's truly incredible, and in a way kind of humbling as well. So the important question, just as we come to the end of the text this morning, the important question that's left to address, again, is another practical one, but what does this mean for us here at Bethany? What does this mean for us as we embrace this call to serve, as we move forward into the days and weeks and months ahead? And I think coming from this text, there are, as we embrace this call to serve, there are three things that we must remember going forward. Three things we must remember. And the first one is this. The first thing is we must remember that the church is called to serve, and that means everyone. Everybody has a part to play. Nobody gets a free pass. The body only functions as well in a healthy way when all of the members, when all of the parts are doing what they're designed to do. We're all called to serve. That's the first thing we need to remember. The second thing that we must remember from this passage is that we must remember to recognize and to pay attention to our gifts, but also the gifts of others. Again, Paul mentions in this passage that in our diversity, it's in our differences that we contribute to the health and the unity of the church. And part of that is encouraging other people to do the self-assessment and say, where has God given me gifts to serve and to give? Part of it is when you notice something in somebody's life, to come alongside them and say, hey, you're really good at, fill in the blank, you're really good at, you have the gift of compassion. It would be a really good fit here. You have the ability and the gifting to teach. It would be a really great gift to use here. For any of these ones, all these gifts, noticing them in other people and encouraging them as well to be full functioning members of the body. So that's the second thing. We must remember to recognize our gifts and the gifts of others. And then the third thing that we must remember, and this is the most important one, I think, that we must remember that we are one in Christ and one with each other. We can't lose sight of the fact as we serve, again, we serve as a diverse group of individuals, but we serve as one in Christ and one to another together. We can't lose sight of our unity. Our unity in everything that we do, unity, has to be the number one priority. As we move forward, as we embrace this call to serve, the call that the church has been given, we can't lose sight of this. We have to hold on to this. We are united, one in Christ and one to another. And as we come together, one in Christ and together, God will use us for his plans, for his glory, for his purposes, for all the good things that he has in store to do through us and with us. Isn't that something amazing to look forward to? Yeah. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the unique way that you've gifted each of us to serve and to give, to contribute back to the community of believers that you've called here at Bethany. God, would you impress upon us, if we're not sure, would you impress upon our hearts just where that place is that you want us to serve? Would you make clear to us the ways in which you've gifted us and the ways in which you want to use us, you want to partner with us? And just ask that you would make it available for us to serve, that you would strengthen us to be full functioning members of your body. And as we embrace this call to serve, Father, would you, we give ourselves humbly to you, trusting that you have good things in store for us and that you will use us for your glory and for your honor. And we are excited for what that looks like as we go ahead and move on from here. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.